Well, I don't know about choosing Sound the Battle Cry at a time when we're talking about marriage and the family. But I'll tell you how that applies. We have an adversary that fights against families, and we have to fight for our families. We have to sound the battle cry against our arch enemy. You know, talking to a couple people recently who are Christadelphians, and they do not believe in Satan. They don't believe in the existence of Satan. They believe he just represents sin. And you know what? We have an adversary. That's pretty cunning, isn't it, for Satan to airbrush himself out of the picture in their faith. But we do have an adversary who's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he likes to devour families. So I definitely have to sound the battle cry. I thought I'd just give a quick update about Sister Annie. She's still in hospital, still on the 6th South. I visited her last night, and I know Brother Steve just came back from visiting her. And my impression is that she's had some ups and downs, and she's got an NG tube back in her nose going into her stomach, and I think she felt that was a step down, but it actually is not. It's a step up, because before it was used to suction contents, but now it's actually being used to feed her. So it means her stomach is actually starting to kind of kickstart, and they're starting to work her stomach, and so she's starting to get some output. So that's a good thing. And she's on oxygen right now, at least she was last night, still on oxygen. So do be in prayer for her. She's starting to show signs of wanting to go be back home in Orchard Court. I had to clarify that with her. Which home are you talking about, Annie? But so just be in prayer for her that the Lord's will would be done. And if you have the chance to go and pay her a visit and encourage her, and know she would appreciate it. So, okay, ask Pastor Emeritus Sorensen. He keeps correcting me every time I say Pastor Sorensen, to come up here and to preach to us on the family and the husband and wife relationship.
Okay. Maybe the song they ought to sing at weddings is "The Fight Is On." Oh my, wonderful meal this noon, ladies. That was really good. Good Canadian cooks, good Canadian food. Reminds me of a story. Guy went to the doctor, and he had a carrot up his nose, and a piece of broccoli in his ear, and a small cucumber in his other ear. And he said, "Doc, can you help me?" And the doc said, "Well, the first thing you do, you need to change your eating habits." In my pulpit at home, I got a sign that says "laugh." But anyway, take your Bible today and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21. And here, the apostle very directly gives instructions on marriage, God's instructions on marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is the subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Father, this afternoon, as we would look at this, these very basic instructions for a Christian home and a Christian family, our God, help us now to submit ourselves to the instruction of your word. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God invented marriage. He also wrote the owner's manual. You know that book that's in the glove box in your car that you never ever read? Well, God wrote a manual on marriage, and you're holding it in your hand right now. It's the Word of God. And here in Ephesians 5 is a simple framework for a heavenly marriage. And in reality, it boils down to two simple instructions, one for the husband and one for the wife. I think most folks can handle that. Husbands, love your wife. Isn't that simple? Nothing complicated about that. And number two, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Pretty simple. And so, in most marriages, marriage problems rather that I should say, that I have worked with over the years, one or the other or both of these instructions were ignored. Simply, husbands, love your wife, and wives, submit yourself to your husband. And so let's look more closely here tonight. Husbands, love your wife. That is an imperative. Now, when I say that, what I mean is that in the original language, in the Greek language, and I don't like to lay a lot of Greek on my people at home, but every now and then it's helpful to just get a little few insights into it. But the Greek language had constructions that are not evident in English. And every verb in Greek, am I losing you already when I start talking grammar? But anyway, there was a verb mode that was called imperative. That means it's a command. We don't have that in English. And it's in the imperative mode. It means it's a commandment. God says, husbands, love your wives. That's a commandment, fellas. Just as there are numerous other commandments in the Bible. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's a commandment. And a simple definition of the word love in the New Testament, agape love, is a giving of oneself for another. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, Christ loved me and what? Gave himself for me. And a simple definition of love, and the basic word in the New Testament for love is agape. A simple definition of that word is a giving of oneself for another. Therefore, by its very nature, agape love is selfless, in distinction to being selfish. Now, I am naturally selfish. I was born that way, and so are you, by the way. We all were. That's the old nature. My old nature, my old flesh, is selfish. And we need to overcome that. Selfishness creates friction. Selfishness creates strife. Selfishness creates conflict. Husbands, love your wives. Not only is it imperative mode, but it is active voice. Now, look, I know grammar bores people to death. It bores me to death, too. But sometimes it's insightful. In distinction, it does not say, husbands, be in love with your wives. Now, there's nothing wrong with falling in love with your wife, fellas. I'm not saying I'm against that. But that's not what the verse says. The Bible says love. It doesn't say be in love. And there's a distinction. Love your wife. And what that means is it's active. We need to work at it. And something we need to work at all along and all the time. In this passage we read this afternoon, I think there's about 13 verses here today. And on four occasions in these 13 verses, the husband is directed to love the wife. And the great illustration that the apostle uses here is of Christ loving the church. Notice here in verse 27. Beginning in verse 25, as Christ loved the church, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that is the church, with the washing of water by the word. As the word of God is preached, the church is cleansed, it's cleaned, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, that illustration of how Jesus loved the church is used as to how husbands today in this life and in this age, how we ought to love our wives. And notice verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. We are directed to love our wives even as Jesus loved the church. We are to love our wives as we love our own bodies. We protect our bodies. We instantly and instinctively recoil from injury. We see something coming and we dodge. We get out of the way. We try to avoid getting injured. We protect ourselves. We are careful with our bodies. And likewise, we ought to protect our wives and take care of our wives and be careful of her. We're commanded to love our wives, gentlemen. Now, it's interesting. Have you ever noticed that the commandment is to the husband and not to the wife? Check that out. It doesn't say wives love your husbands. It says husbands love your wives. Why is that? Well, let me suggest to you the reason I think that is, because men tend to focus on masculine things. I mean, men tend to focus on tires and trucks and transmissions, right? And guns and sports and masculine stuff. Tools. I was speaking at a church in southwestern Indiana here about 3 weeks ago, and they have a Covered Bridges Festival. I probably don't have any covered bridges around here, but that's a big deal down in that part of the world. And so the local pastor said, there's a guy in the church here, he's a local historian, and he's wants to take you there on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, whatever it was. And so he did. And I said, how many people come to this thing? Well, it was, I don't know, there's a dozen or so covered bridges in all these little burgs in southwestern Indiana. He said 1 million people come to this thing. Wow. Well, after I got there, I believed him. I mean, it was wall-to-wall people. But it was all these shops of crafts and quilts and artsy stuff. And it took me about 5 minutes to decide. Once I've seen some of it, I'd seen it all. And my wife wanted to see it all. And you go to the mall. Now in Minneapolis, in Edmonton, there's what do they call that big mall in Edmonton?
West Edmonton.
The what?
West Edmonton.
West Edmonton Mall. Okay. Well, there's a big one in Minneapolis. The one in Edmonton is bigger. It's the biggest. There's one in Minneapolis almost as big, and it's called the Mall of America. And I can endure going there about once every 10 years. But, and you go to the mall, and what is it? One clothes shop after another clothes shop, after a jewelry shop, after a scented candle shop, after a perfume shop, after a massage shop, and they also have a baseball cap shop. Whoop-de-doo. And 90% of the stuff in that mall is for, guess who, what? Women. Well, down in America, down in the Midwest, there's a chain of stores called Menards. How many know what Menards are? One. It's kind of like Home Depot or, you know, it's a place where you can go and buy, I don't think Menards sells guns, but they sell tools of any kind that you can imagine. They sell lumber, they sell hardware, they sell, and then there's another one that just came to town where we live called Fleet Farm, where you can buy all-terrain vehicles and guns and ammunition. And I like to walk around those kind of stores. And all my wife wants to do when she goes there is look at the candy department. Now, what's the difference? Men are different than ladies. And we, fellas, we have an interest in things that ladies, by and large, don't have an interest in. We are the hunter-gatherers. And the Bible says, fellas, men, husband, love your wives. Love your wives. And men tend to overlook their wife. They're so busy fixing the transmission on their truck, or putting new tires on the pickup truck, or sighting in the deer hunting rifle, or going and getting some new tools, or whatever. And we're so busy doing that sort of thing that we forget about our wife. And the Bible says, fellas, love your wife. And in most marriage problems that I have observed over the years, the husband didn't love his wife as he ought to love his wife. And when a husband doesn't love his wife as he ought to love her, then there's a second problem that kicks in. She won't submit to him. And it becomes a vicious cycle. And the solution, it starts with the husband loving his wife. And it's the root of many marriage problems. And getting back to what we talked about this morning of walking in the Spirit. Well, what's the first thing at the fruit of the Spirit? Love. And again, that's agape love. Now, you need not turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, there the apostle says charity, and that word, of course, in the original language is agape, which means love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Well, again, Paul wasn't writing that there directly in a marriage context. He was writing in the greater context of the Christian life and in the church particularly. But it's very applicable to a marriage situation. Love suffers long. That is, love is patient. And how easy is it to become impatient, fellas, with our wife? Love is kind. So easy to be short and grumpy and crabby. And grouchy. Love is kind. Love is not envious, and the idea is bitter. Something happened once 20 years ago, and you're still bitter about it. Love is not bitter. Love does not demand his own way. He said, well, I'm the head of the house. Well, maybe so, but love does not demand his way. Love is willing to give in, or love is willing to compromise, and I use that in a generic sense of working things out. Love is not proud or stubborn. And I think if there's a besetting sin in Christian people, it's being stubborn. We had a foster daughter some years ago, a long time ago, about 10 years ago, in fact, no. She came to us when she was 15 years old, and a long story I won't get into. And in the main, she didn't cause us any problems. But one day she said to me, my grandmother says, I'm stubborn, and she was proud of it. I said, Jeannie, that's nothing to be proud of.
I mean, stubbornness is not a virtue. Love is not stubborn or proud. Love does not behave itself unseemly. The idea is love does not behave itself inappropriately. When we love our wives, we'll not be inappropriate to her. Love is not selfish. The very essence of agape love means to be selfless. I mean, you take a small child, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. They don't care if they wake you up in the middle of the night. They don't care. Well, that's because of their immaturity. And but sometimes men are immature. They want what they want, and they want it now. Love is not selfish. Love is not easily provoked. And we're back to being patient. Love is not happy with unrighteousness. Love puts up with the fault of the other. Pretty close to being patient again. Love is willing to trust the other. Love does not give up. Love never fails. Love is being kind to your wife. It means picking up after yourself, fellas. It means picking up your dirty socks. It means doing the dishes sometimes. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes helping your wife with the dishes. It means putting the toilet seat down. Love means complimenting your wife. Love means thinking of your wife, maybe just some little gift every now and then. Love means being thoughtful to your wife, doing something that you know that she'd appreciate. Love is being kind to your wife. Love is telling her you love her regularly. I think I've talked to my wife at least twice today, maybe 3 times, but for sure twice. She usually beats me to the draw, but at any event, we always tell each other we love each other over the telephone. And we need to tell each other we love you. I love you, honey. Love is being affectionate and romantic to her. Fellas, we need to work at this. And a man who will work at loving his wife is going to go a long way toward resolving problems in the home, in the marriage. It's going to go a long way to enabling your wife to be a submissive wife. And so, rule number one, pretty simple. Husbands, love your wife. It's an imperative. It's active voice. That means you need to work at it, and we're commanded to work at it. But rule number two this afternoon is, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Now, and believe me, I know this cuts right across the grain of the modern feminist movement. But God has ordained, or let me rephrase that, God has delegated authority in human society. And when we step back and understand this, I think it makes a little more sense. God has ordained several basic institutions in human society. God ordained the home long ago, clear back to the Garden of Eden, and in the days after the Garden of Eden. It was a God-ordained institution, even as marriage is a God-ordained institution. By the way, one man and one woman. God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. But marriage or the home, the family, is a God-ordained institution. God has ordained the institution of the church. Now, I realize we're jumping over a lot of history, but there was the Old Testament Israel and the tabernacle and so forth, and prophets and so forth even before that. But God has ordained the church. And God has ordained the institution of government. We sometimes get disgusted with government and don't like the government and maybe don't like who's been elected and so forth. But nevertheless, as an institution, Romans chapter 13 makes it very clear that government as an institution is ordained of God. And we therefore need to be submissive to it. Now, in each of these institutions, God has delegated authority. In the matter of the church, God has delegated delegated authority through the pastor. In the government, God has delegated authority through whether it's the king, the president, the prime minister, whatever his title might be. In the home, God has delegated authority through the husband. And all through the scriptures, we read about the husband being the head of the wife, the head of the home. And this is a basic principle. And therefore, ladies, it is God's will for a woman, a wife, to submit herself unto her own husband. And when a woman bucks her husband, she's bucking God's plan. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The husband is the head of the wife. And I know, I said this a moment ago, I'll say it again, it flies right across, cuts right across the grain and flies in the face of the modern feminist movement, which is unscriptural and it's ungodly. But it's what we've touched on here of submission is God's plan. I remember as a little boy, we lived for 5 years in a place called St. Cloud, Minnesota. It's right in the middle of the state of Minnesota. If you saw a map of Minnesota and stuck your finger right in the middle, you'd be pretty close to St. Cloud. And it was the county seat of Stearns County. And at the time, when we first lived there, my dad was a pastor there, the First Baptist Church in St. Cloud. And at the time, we lived in a parsonage, which was next door to the church, which was maybe 6 blocks from the county courthouse. So as a little boy, I'd ride my bicycle over there, and they had a museum in the lower level of the county courthouse. And would go in there, and they had, you know, various curios and things on display. And one thing that I've never forgotten, I don't remember anything else that was in that museum, but in a little glass tank, I guess it was a formaldehyde, they had a two-headed pig. Piglet. And you say, that's a freak of nature. Yes, it is. And in any organization where there are two heads, it's a freak of nature. And in a home where there are two parties trying to be the head, it doesn't work. God has ordained the husband to be the head, even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, wives are to be subject to their own husbands. Notice it says, in everything. And such submission is ultimately to Christ. And so practically that means not arguing about his decisions. Practically that means having a sweet cooperative spirit. I once read about a little girl who said, well, I'll obey outwardly, but I'll rebel inwardly. Well, that's not having a submissive spirit. Practically that means trying to please your husband. Even as the church is subject to Christ, so ought the wife be subject to her husband. It means having a willing attitude. It means crucifying a sharp tongue. It means crucifying a bad attitude. It means crucifying I'll do as I please attitude. Being submissive to your husband is on the same page as being submissive to Christ. For as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And here is the irony. When a wife is unsubmissive to her husband, he is unhappy, and she is unhappy, and everybody's unhappy. A sweet, submissive wife will solve a multitude of problems. But it begins with a husband who truly loves his wife, shows it, works at it, and lets her know that he's working at it. And then she, in turn, is submissive to her husband. There's nothing complicated about that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband in everything. And when these two simple rules are in place, and it's based on the foundation where we started at this morning of being in the Word, which strengthens our new nature, and walking in the new nature and not in the old, we're on the pathway to a heavenly marriage, a godly marriage, a solid marriage, a sweet marriage. My wife and I have been married for 46 years, and it's the truth, never once has there even been a thought of divorce. Not even the thought of it. It's never crossed our mind, our page. I mean, we have a wonderful, wonderful, sweet, sweet marriage to this day after 46 years. She has a little plaque in our home. It says, home is where each lives for Christ and all live for the other. Well, that pretty well describes Christian love, living for Jesus and living for each other, giving our lives for the other. And you'll never go wrong. Well, tomorrow night we are going to look at building character in our children. Godly character, Christian character. And I'll be defining Christian character and how to build it, instill it into our children. And then on Tuesday night, touching on instilling convictions, right convictions, godly convictions in our home, in our families. And so I trust you'll be back then in each of those services. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this evening, thank you for this good church and these good people and their desire to serve you. And Father, help them now in their homes, in their families, in their marriage relationships. And bring them back again, give them safety as they return to their homes, and bring us back again refreshed tomorrow evening. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for that great message. I tell you, that passage there of Ephesians 5 there, and the phrase that really jumps out to me as a husband is where the scripture says that we're to love our husbands even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. One day I'd like to do an in-depth study, just focus completely on what Jesus did, what Christ did for us, and try to draw the correlation between the husband and the wife. Wrote some strong words there. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And